Welcome to Salt and Light with Pastor Randy Mitchell. Jesus said to his disciples, "Ye are the salt of the earth and the light of the world." Salt and Light confronts the difficult and often controversial issues that affect today's culture. The only hope for this generation is for more people to follow Jesus Christ and for his followers to be salt and light in their community. Pastor Randy will discuss the Bible solutions to help us know what God says about the problems we face today. Salt and Light is a ministry of Temple Baptist Church in Statesville, North Carolina. Here's your host, Pastor Randy Mitchell.
Good morning and welcome to Salt and Light. Got a very special guest with us here today. Got Pastor Jason Boger from Northmont Baptist Church here in Statesville. We are live with you here this morning. Brother Jason, welcome to Salt and Light. A little early in the morning. I don't know about you. I had to get up about 4 this morning to get ready for the broadcast and all that I had going on today. But how are you today?
I'm good. Thank you. Thank you so much for having us again. And certainly appreciate the invite. But this is my typical morning. So As a matter of fact, I'm usually already clocked in at work by now.
But, yeah.
We're thankful for a little bit of break we can have and come and be in this radio show.
Yeah, I usually get up early, but not at 4 a.m., and especially not after getting to bed at about midnight. So that just happens, you know. Yeah. Sleep is something that you get it when you can. But anyhow, I appreciate you being here, and it's a joy to be here in Salt and Light. We appreciate all of you listeners that have tuned in. And I like going live for one reason, Brother Jason. I don't have to keep track in my mind what I'm talking about as far as if I talk about last Sunday, what happened at church or what's coming up this coming Sunday, because when we record a few days before, it's usually we air a couple days after Sunday, and then we record a couple days before Sunday, and so it sometimes it's just too much for this little brain of mine to handle and keep track of. But how was your services this past Sunday at Northmont?
Went really well. Had a good time. Matter of fact, we have every second Sunday of every month. We change our set up a little bit. We have our morning services as usual, but then after that, we have a fellowship meal, and then we have a 2 o'clock afternoon service.
Uh-huh.
So we do that once a month, and so we really enjoyed, had a good time. We started it late last year, thought it would be something good for us to start doing and having more time together. And, of course, you know, anytime visitors are there, they're more than welcome to stay and enjoy the whole day with us. And so, we've really enjoyed it. It does make it challenging when preaching, because you preach in the morning, you eat, and then you preach at 2 o'clock.
Turn around and preach again.
Yeah. So you got to make a decision. How much do I want to eat?
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good time. If you've got a guest preacher or somebody else that can preach, you can share the workload.
Right.
But, I think that's a great idea. And especially, having some fellowship as a church family, that's always a good thing. And then, everybody's already still at church, and then going in and having the services. Oh. And that way they're not having to go home and then come back. I know we've got a handful of people that live a pretty good distance away, and that makes it easier on them. And so that sounds like a blessing. So last Sunday, how did things go? What did you preach?
Oh, well, that's a loaded question. No, it's not really. So we're going through the book of Corinthians on Sundays, and so we're in 2 Corinthians now, chapter 5. And the morning message was from about the middle of the chapter to the end of the chapter. And really, basically, what I was trying to convey to the church in the context of what the Lord was giving Paul to give to the church at Corinth is that we need to realize that we're new, we're something different, we're not what we used to be.
Yeah.
2 Corinthians 5:17 says you're a new creature. But if you look at the context of how verse 17 is in the chapter, and you look at the previous verses, you're looking at it and going, well, I'm a new creature, so that means I need to look at people not with the fleshly eyes, but I need to look at people as is that they're a soul, and look at that soul and not look at the flesh. We used to judge people based on flesh and how the flesh looks at people. I look at you and, you know, I could find all kinds of things wrong.
No doubt.
And look at all, right, and look at all things, because I'm looking at you through the flesh. Well, I'm a new creature now. I got to look at your soul. I got to look at that. You're a soul that is either dead or alive. And you know, that's what, you know, I think that, you know, the Lord is trying to convey unto us. I mean, matter of fact, I'll just read you. It says in verse 15, it says, "And he that had died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore, because of that truth, henceforth know we no man after the flesh." Mm-hmm. So ever since I became something, a new creature, I have to look at things differently, and that includes people as well. And I really think that should help us in understanding what our main focus is, as just it was to Paul, to the church at Corinth, and anywhere that he went, it was getting the gospel to that soul.
Mm-hmm. You know, so often, brother, we think about human relationships and how we treat one another, how we think toward one another, and oftentimes we see relationships as something that's like a technique, or, you know, it's like, well, you got to remember all of these steps and these points, and really it's not that complicated. It comes down to what you're talking about, what the Word of God says. If we just start seeing this world and seeing each other through the eyes of the way that God sees us. And truly, as born-again believers, we are new creatures in Christ Jesus. And if we start to, most of the problems that we have in our relationships and even in our church relationships, they stem from the fact that people start looking according to the flesh,
right,
start seeing things from our own perspectives, from humanity. And yeah, you are 100% correct. If we start looking according to the flesh, we're going to find fault. We're going to be critical. Our own pride, our own sense of what is right and wrong is sometimes going to taint the way that we see others. But when Jesus Christ walked through the masses of humanity, he did exactly what you said. He saw them as souls,
right,
eternal souls, and he was able to care about them. When we see people the way that they really are, as souls, then it makes it a whole lot easier to care for them.
Right.
We'll be less critical, cut them a little bit of slack if we think about, hey, they're a soul that's going to spend somewhere in eternity.
Yeah.
And when we start seeing that, it'll change the way that we look toward them. Well, it sounds like it's a great sermon.
Yeah, well.
It sounds like a great thought. I can tell just by looking at you that you had some passion and some oomph in that, and that's always good. Sometimes I know as a pastor, sometimes I'm just trying to figure out what God wants me to say, and sometimes it's a textbook, and then sometimes it's something that's really that I'm passionate about.
Right.
And it's always a joy when the Lord meets with us, and I trust that there was a good response to that. We're going to talk a little bit after the break about some of the outreach that we're doing. I know Northmont's involved in trying to get the gospel out. We are as well, and so we're going to talk about it a little bit more after the break.
Sounds great.
Welcome back. I'm joined here by Pastor Jason Voger of Northmont Baptist Church. Brother Jason, we were talking about last Sunday's service and what you preached and what's going on here and the things of God. But one thing that I wanted to talk about with you here this morning, and that is outreach. I appreciate you and your ministry there at Northmont. Just this past Saturday, was driving by CVS over on 115 and looked over and saw, like I do any time that I drive by that particular place at around 11 o'clock on a Saturday, I see a good handful of your folks out there with scripture signs and representing Jesus Christ. And That is something that we've been doing at Temple Baptist Church for, I guess probably 15 years. And sometimes we go downtown Statesville. Sometimes we go over to the Walmart area and just kind of different places. But I just got to say, it's a joy to see you out there and your people. And there is such a need for outreach in our community. So let's talk a little bit about why do we do that?
Well, it's interesting you bring this up and we're talking about it because 2 Corinthians 5 tells us we're ambassadors. So this, you know,
about that.
That first little session we talked about what we preach on Sunday lines up perfectly with, you know, what you think about today. And we're representing something that the world doesn't understand. And they can't understand it until they know our Savior Jesus Christ. And so that's the difference. I'm longing to go home. I'm groaning inside of myself to get home and be where I want to be. But in the meantime, I know that I don't want to go alone. And so we started this ministry, I can't remember how long ago now it's been, but we went to a Bible conference up in Tennessee, up in Knoxville, Antioch Baptist Church, and we took our youth up there, and we went out street ministry, holding signs with them, preaching on the street, and they loved it. The youth loved it, and it's always done it on my own, and then I, you know, was trying to get others to come, and I was, when they seen how great it was and how wonderful it is that you're doing what the Lord wants you to do, and that is to represent Him in this foreign country that we live in, and that's why we do that, and we're not representing Northmont Baptist Church. There's nothing on our signs. There's nothing that we say even promotes or even relates to Northmont Baptist Church. We want people to know Jesus.
Amen.
And that's why we do that. Handing out tracts, if it's just holding a sign that's got some scripture on it, somebody's going to read that sign. And what we've noticed a lot of times is people are slowing down more and more and more to see what our signs say. That's a busy intersection right there. I hope they not only can see what we have, but they're also paying attention to the road as well. But so far, we haven't caused anybody rubbernecking and causing rear endings of vehicles. But no, it's encouraging. It's encouraging. We always have mixed emotions. You've got some people that agree with what we're doing. You've got some people don't. I will say that most people, majority. There's a 1% out there that may not like what we're doing.
We've experienced the same thing. I mean, most of what we get is thumbs up.
Right.
You know, there are, you know, other appendages that every now and then show up, but most of them are thumbs up. People honk their horns. Right. They'll smile. They'll say, appreciate what you're doing. And in our area, having an outreach that's public, it's way easier here. I mean, if you can't do it here, you can't do it anywhere. You know, most people are appreciative that we're out representing Jesus Christ. And I've noticed when I drove by, you guys have signs. You have some of them that are just, you know, 2-3 where Jesus saves. Right. But then you have some that are like a short verse of the Bible.
Yeah.
And that's for the people that you catch at the red light.
Right. Yeah.
You know, when the light's green, you hope they see the you must be born again or Jesus saves, those little short signs.
Right.
But also have some that's got like a whole verse of scripture. Mm-hmm. And I've had people ask before, it's like, well, why are you doing that? Is that effective? And my answer to that is always, well, we're not necessarily doing it to be effective, because just like what you said, that was exactly what our mindset was going into when we started our street ministry, is that there's not going to be anything in that about Temple Baptist Church. We're not representing Temple Baptist Church or trying to grow a church. We're just out there representing Jesus Christ.
Right.
And my answer to people say, well, is that effective? I said, well, you know, we hope that it is, but that's not why we're doing it. And I told our people, I said, look, if this puts a smile on the face of our Savior, then that's all that matters.
Right.
You know, I just, in my mind, and I can't get into the mind of our Lord, but if I'm my father and I look down and I see my children trying to do something to honor me, even if they're doing it pitifully,
right.
It's like, hey, that's my kids, and they are proud of me, and right. they're willing to go out in public and represent me. That would put a smile on my face, yeah, and I can't right. help but imagine that it puts a smile on the face of our Lord. And so, you know, something's better than nothing.
Right.
And somebody said, well, I don't like the way you're doing that. And I heard a preacher years ago say, well, I like the way I'm doing it better than the way you're not doing
right,
it.
Right, right, yeah.
And we get a lot of fans of outreach, you know, hey, we appreciate what you're doing. And while I don't mean to sound sarcastic, but sometimes I just scratch my head and wonder, well, why, if so many people give us these thumbs up, why aren't we seeing more witnessing, more, you know, gospel representation with so many churches on every corner here in our community? There should be a witness for Jesus Christ, whether it be a gospel tract or a scripture sign, people knocking on doors. It should be all over the place based right. on how many churches there are. And I think that's kind of sad and heartbreaking. And I think that the Lord is no doubt going to hold all of us accountable. Are we doing what we can, or are we just being a fan? So many people right. are fans of sports, but they don't play. They don't get in the game. Well, right. when it comes to witnessing, all of us, every born-again Christian, you don't have to be a Bible scholar. You don't have to be anything other than saved and know the gospel, and right. all of us can do something.
Yeah, that's what I try to tell my people. We can all do something. What we're doing on Saturdays is, to me, is the easy part. Because we're standing on a street corner, we're either holding a sign. You know, most people find one-on-one witnessing harder.
It can be intimidating.
It can yeah. be, especially in this day and time.
Yeah.
You begin to talk to people about Jesus personally, one-on-one, and you find out really where that person stands. They're either going to, there's all kinds of reactions. So I've had them all.
Yeah.
I've had cussings. I've had, you know, just turn around and leave and walk off, slam the door in my face. I've had all the emotions come. But just holding a scripture sign, just out there on the street corner, holding a scripture sign, preaching on the streets, to me, that's easy. To me, it is. Maybe not to everybody. Yeah. But I always tell my people, I says, you can come hold a sign.
Yeah.
And like you said, when people ask if it's effective, I say, well, that's not for me to decide.
Yeah.
I believe it's effective no matter what, because somebody is getting the gospel through this sign somehow, some way, even if it's just the Jesus saves message.
That's right.
I'm telling somebody, hey, there is somebody that loves you.
Well, you know, brother, even if they're not getting the message that we're saying,
yeah.
the fact that they just got confronted with the fact
right.
that there is a God,
yeah.
that there is a message out there, that somebody's reminding them about God,
mm-hmm.
and they may not read the sign, they may not appreciate it, but they just got reminded something public that there is a God, and some of them have heard the gospel before.
Right.
Maybe they've rejected the gospel, but they just got confronted
right, yeah.
because we're putting Jesus Christ and His Word out there in a public setting.
Yeah.
And so sometimes God will use that, even if they don't even read our signs.
Right.
They can get saved because they just got confronted, and it gives God something, the Holy Spirit, something to work with to bring conviction to those hearts. And I've heard many, many testimonies, I'm sure you have as well, how the people eventually got saved, and they could trace it back to God speaking to them just when they rejected, when they didn't want to hear, but you know, they drove away or they walked away from that witness, and the Holy Spirit didn't. They might have walked away from the witness, but the Holy Spirit didn't walk away from them.
Right. And I mean, that's what it's all about. We never know, and we won't know until we're with Him for eternity. We have no idea. Somebody somewhere heard something, saw something, got convicted of something. Either I tell my people all the time, you know, you can have a public ministry just by how you live.
Yeah.
You don't have to have a scripture signed. You don't have to hand that person a tract. I mean, public ministry for a child of God is a every moment of your life thing that you should be doing. And that puts it a little bit more of a perspective for you when you think about everything you do, you're representing Jesus.
Yeah.
And this is just something, just another way that we can get more of the gospel, more of Jesus Christ to a world that certainly needs it.
Amen.
There's no answer but Jesus. That's all you can give them.
That is so true. And brother, I agree 100% with what you said, but I also want to add to that, and that is, yeah, we need to be witnesses. That can be with our lifestyle.
Right.
But I know that there are people out there that they have been led to believe, or maybe they have hid behind it, that, hey, as long as I just live a good life before people, that's all that I need to do. Well,
right.
Being a witness and witnessing are supposed to go together.
Right.
So yeah, we be a witness by how we live. But some people think that, well, if I just live right, then people are just going to be knocking on my door saying, "Hey, what? How can I be like you?" And that's not what Jesus meant when he said, "Let your light so shine."
Right.
The light is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so yeah, we need to back up our witness with a lifestyle that gives the gospel credibility. But at the same token, every one of us need to get out of our comfort zone and our pride. It's, you know, self-consciousness is just pride. Mm-hmm. And whether it be handing somebody a tract, leaving it on somebody's door, or actually opening up our mouth and witnessing, it's a pleasure and a privilege, and it is so needed. We'll be back right after the break, folks. We have been talking about Christian outreach, and this is something that most pastors have a passion for and are always preaching to their people. I had somebody who got one of our gospel tracts. One of our people at our church left a gospel tract at their car, and got a letter in the mail here a couple of weeks ago, Brother Jason, and a lady said that when she saw that gospel tract, how that it reminded her of God, and she was going through a rough time. And, you know, we don't get response to our gospel outreach very often, but she was just talking about how that made such an impact in her life and how that she was appreciative that we were doing that. So sometimes we get to see some results, but oftentimes we have no idea what God is doing through our outreach. And I appreciate you talked about your street ministry, going out holding up gospel signs. Your teens got excited about it. I know for our street ministry, and ours is, at least when I've driven by your folks, it looks like you guys are doing the same exact thing that we've been doing. And I think that's amazing, the like-mindedness there. But, you know, what our people are doing, we've got people out there that are in their 90s mm-hmm. going out on Saturday. Sometimes even when the weather's not so good, I've seen Miss Dot, she's in her 90s, and I've seen her all bundled up, looks like the Michelin tire lady, and be out there, and she can't stand because of her health situation. So we have a little folding chair, one of those camp outdoor chairs that we set up for her, and she sits there and holds her sign. We have teenagers, even young people that are younger than teens will come. Sometimes families will come out and kids will stand there and hold a sign. And, you know, something's better than nothing.
Right.
And, you know, I found that not only I believe that it's good for our community to have a gospel witness out there, but I think it's also good for our people. You know, it's a time where we come together for the right purpose. The Bible talks about striving together for the faith of the gospel.
Right.
And you know, in light of that, we've also we've been doing this challenge that we finish up this. We're in our last week of an 8-week challenge that I've challenged our people to do the things that we know we're supposed to do: witness, read the Bible. We're going to be talking about the Bible here in just a few minutes. But we've also been challenging them to get out gospel tracts. And so our people, we've been getting out in the community anywhere between 1,000 to 2,000 tracts a week through this challenge. And I certainly hope that that will continue. I kind of doubt that after this week that we'll be getting out 2,000 a week, but I certainly hope that our people will continue. I know I want to continue, even though it's not a, you know, a challenge that we're doing, an organized challenge.
Right.
I want to continue doing it. And that was the whole concept behind this challenge, was to prime the pump,
right.
Get people accustomed to doing the things. Sometimes you just got to get in the right kind of habits. But we were putting out some tracks, my wife and I, here the other night, and we'd put some tracks on a couple of cars at a local restaurant, and we were finishing up with what we were doing. We're sitting in the car getting ready to leave, and a couple gentlemen came out, and they saw the track on their door, and you could just see one of them just glanced at it to see what it is, and just very almost violently just threw it down on the parking lot. And I'm like, whoa, that's pretty extreme. And
right.
So his buddy came out, and he's in a different pickup truck, and he saw what his friend did, and so he went to his, looked at the gospel track, and did the exact same thing. And then, you know, so we just said, let's just sit here and wait and see what happens. So they talked to each other for a few minutes, and then they both got in their pickups, and I said to my wife, let's just pray. So we prayed for those gentlemen. I don't know their names. I don't know their background. I don't know why they had so much animosity toward those gospel tracts, why it was such an annoyance to them. I mean, I've had literature put on my car or my door, or people knock on my door that I don't agree with and whatnot, but it doesn't ruin my day or make me act that way. But I just thought, well, maybe the Lord's working on them. Maybe that's why that they acted the way that they did. And so I just prayed. And it just reminded me how that we are in God's business. And the Apostle Paul said, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. And it's so important, and I know you know this, brother, that we just remember that we are laboring in God's field. And it is a labor of love. It's not tiring. You know, you go out. I don't like gardening. I don't like weeding. I had to pull weeds for several hours yesterday, and I hate that. You know, we talk about having our row to hoe. You know, like hoeing the corn and being out there in the heat of the day. I don't enjoy any of that process. And physical gardening and growing crops takes a lot of hard work and suffering and sweating and so forth. But the gospel work, it's God's yoke is easy and His burden is light. And I just find that it's a huge blessing and a joy. We're going to transition into Bible reading here in just a moment, but any last thoughts about outreach? I see your face. It's like I can see you got stuff, something to say.
No. I'm in total agreeance with you. And especially that last point you made, yes, physical work is tough. Physical work's hard. And we do it every day, all the time. But doing what God has commanded us to do. This is what we're supposed to do. We're to go and tell. To me, is not work. It's like you said, it's easy. His yoke's easy. His burden's light. And it brings a joy. It really does. When I'm out there holding them signs, you know, no matter what the reactions are, I'm smiling, I'm enjoying myself, enjoying the fellowship, serving with.
Fellowship's a blessing.
It is. And so, I enjoy doing it. Most people when you begin to think of it as a hassle or you begin to look at it and say, well, I guess I got to do this. You're not going to enjoy it like you should be enjoying it.
Yeah. Can you imagine if every church in our community that preaches the gospel?
Right, right.
And there are many. There's a lot of times we don't always cross our T's and dot our I's the same. And just, you know, we're independent Baptists, but there are different kinds of Baptists. There's Southern Baptists. There's, you know, Methodists and Presbyterians. There's a lot of different evangelical type of churches in our community that if you go into a church service there, you're going to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. They understand that you get saved by what Jesus did on the cross of Calvary. You know, it's not religion, it's not works, and there are just a lot of churches in our area that's what they stand for.
Right.
Can you imagine if every one of them would, you know, sometime during the week, whether it be on a Saturday or a weekday, if everybody just went out for an hour and put up a gospel sign that says, you must be born again,
right,
or something about the cross of Calvary, something reminding them about God, you know, warning against eternal judgment in hell and that there's a heaven that you can gain. If everybody just did a little bit, that, you know, people would be reminded about Jesus Christ every single week.
Yeah.
And, you know, I lived here for in 16 years that I've lived in this community. This is the honest truth, Brother Jason. I've been witnessed to two times. And the second time I got witnessed to was by a guy that was working at a store that I was in. And he was actually doing it while he was on the job. And I actually made a connection with him, and I've got him coming to our church this coming Sunday night. He's from a different country, and it just blessed my heart.
Right.
That just the sweetness of his witness, the boldness of his witness. And I'm like, hey, I want some of that. I need some of that back. And I thought, wow, to be in this area for 16 years, and that was the second time that I've been witness to. And I thought, well, that tells me we as God's people, not just our church, your church, but our listeners. We've got listeners that are born-again Christians. And we need to quit being fans of the gospel and start getting in on getting the gospel out faithfully and being getting some boldness back into our lives.
I'm sitting here thinking while you're saying that, I don't know that I've even had one person witness to me.
How about that?
I've been pastoring for, well, it'll be 15 years in November.
Wow.
So I don't think, I'm just wrecking my brain. Of course, my memory is terrible, so, but I would think I would remember something like that. But
I would say that in Christianity and in our culture and our community here, that we're missing something. It's become too much of a religious social club, and we need to get back to the Bible.
Yeah.
And speaking of which, and that's really what we're transitioning into on our topic here this morning, is we're going to be talking about the value of the Bible, the Bible reading, knowing the Bible, understanding the Bible. And probably the reason that we don't have a lot of good Christian practice going on is because people aren't in the Bible. People don't know the Bible. People don't read it faithfully. I was talking about the challenge that we've had with our church. This will be our eighth week. We're in our eighth week. And one of the challenges was getting gospel tracts out, like I've already mentioned. But another challenge was to spend time reading the Bible every day. And we've got some folks, I can think of one gentleman in our church that has literally been reading hundreds of chapters a week out of the Bible. I mean, in this eight-week challenge that we're going through, at his rate, he's probably went through the Bible two times.
Mm-hmm.
And I know with me, it's upped my Bible reading this past week in our church. And we had about 90-some people sign up for this challenge. But only maybe about half of them are really participating, you know. And some of them are just doing all the things that they've always done. But we literally had, in 1 week, 3,000 chapters of the Bible were read by our people, as far as they reported. And I thought, you know, that's on an average. Some are reading, like I said, some are reading 100 or more chapters a week, but then you've got others that are reading 10 and 20 and up to 50 chapters a week. And, you know, that's a lot of Bible reading. And I'm just looking at it as a pastor. It's like, that cannot be a bad thing for a church congregation to spend more time saturating our mind and our hearts with the Bible, the Word of God, because not only is it what we read and understand, I don't understand everything I read. I don't understand more of what I read more frequently than I understand what I read. But I also know that there's power in that Bible.
Right.
It has a cleansing effect. It has a spiritual effect. Yeah. And I know that you are a Bible-believing preacher, and I know that you know the value of the Bible for every believer.
Right. I mean, we're told to study. We're told to rightly define. We're told what the Scriptures do for us. They're for our reproof, our correction.
Yeah.
2 Timothy 3:16, they're for instruction in righteousness.
Yeah.
You don't think about it a lot, but most people don't. You know, they'll read, you know, some will read the Gospels, some will read from, you know, Romans to whatever. You know, they'll pick a certain scripture, but, you know, you find so much instruction in righteousness in the Old Testament just as much as you do the New Testament. And just sitting there reading is a great blessing, and it's just something that we ought to be doing.
Amen. Let's talk more about this after the break, Brother Jason. Isaiah 34, verse number 16 says, "Seek ye out of the book of the Lord and read." We're talking about Bible reading. Earlier in the broadcast, we were talking about outreach, getting the gospel out. We're here with Brother Jason Boger, pastor of Northmont Baptist Church. Brother Jason, we've talked about getting the gospel out, and now we're talking about Bible reading. And really, in all honesty, these are things that every Christian in their heart, we know we're supposed to do, but we're living in a time where all around us that people aren't doing it. We know we're supposed to. We feel guilty if we don't. The average believer, I mean, I'm sure there are plenty of Christians out there that have not been taught by their pastor, you need to read the Bible. You know, there are many people that, you know, I believe we should read the Bible every day. That's our spiritual food. We know we're supposed to. We know we're supposed to get the gospel out, hand out gospel tracts, witness to people. We know we're supposed to, but we don't.
Yeah.
Sometimes people just don't understand the value of it. And I know getting the gospel out, we talked about, sometimes it brings us joy getting the gospel out, even if they don't appreciate
right.
it. The same thing with Bible reading. If people would understand the value of it, maybe they would decide, you know what, I'm going to start doing that in my life. What would you say to someone said, why should I read the Bible?
Well, that verse you just read in Isaiah, seek. I mean, I've had people ask before, how do I hear from God? Did you read his word? You know, to me, the Bible teaches us and God shows us through his word. And, you know, if you want to know more about me, you're going to have to read. And if you want to know more about yourself, you need to read. That's what these scriptures do for us. It teaches us so much. And like you said, people have become, have watered down, I think a little bit, have or maybe have lost perspective on how important it is to read and to study the scriptures.
Mm-hmm.
They do so much more that it should not be just a placeholder or a something to look at on the coffee table or a conversation piece. We, as much as we talk about praying and having a personal relationship with the Lord, you gain more of a personal relationship with the Lord the more that you're reading his word. I believe it all in my heart. That's I could get closer to God by not only just praying, I mean, not only by praying, but reading his word. And it draws me into him more and more and more. And I don't do it enough. I'm human just like everybody else. Just because I'm a preacher or a pastor doesn't make me any different than anyone else. And I don't know why people think that, but that's just what they think. But
you know, some people we're a lot like the auto mechanic that
yeah.
spends all week long working on somebody else's car, and then they can end up driving a jalopy because when they get home, they don't feel like working on theirs. And that's a temptation.
It is.
And we have to overcome that. But sometimes it's like, I'm like this on Mondays. It's like, I have to discipline myself to read the Bible because on Mondays after preaching all day Sunday, it's like my flesh don't want to.
It's like I'm done. And I'm the same way. People say, do you take a day off? Well, I mean, my situation, I work a full-time job in the secular world. I'm a pastor as well, and that's full-time. There's never a part-time pastor. I just don't understand that terminology. If you're a pastor, you're a pastor. It does not matter, if you don't have a public job or not. Mondays is, people say, well, you take a day off. I said, well, I try Monday, but then I get convicted and I'm like, I need to go to my study. I need to get alone. And what I mean by take a day off, yes, I'm gonna read. I have a Bible at work at my desk. I pick up and I open it up during my breaks or during my lunch and things like that. I catch myself saying I can't just sit here and not do anything. I mean, just relax. I got to get in it. And I think that's the joys of the Word. I think that's what His Word does for me.
Yeah.
And I believe it should do for any of the children of God is that, as a son, I always wanted to know more about what my dad knew. I was always interested in things that he was interested in. We hunted, we worked on vehicles, which I wish I'd have learned a lot more from him with working on vehicles, but different things like that. Well, if I've got that kind of relationship with my earthly father, my earthly dad, it should stand to reason that I should have even more relationship with my heavenly father. And so I want to know more about him. And how I do that is I read, I study. It's not going to come by osmosis. It's not, I can't put this on top of my head and it'll just soak in. I've got to read it. And I just think it opens up so much to an individual.
Yeah. Well, it's just like any relationship. You have to communicate.
Right.
And to have a relationship with God, you've got to communicate to Him. That's prayer. And you've got to listen to Him. That's reading the Bible. That's just the Christian life. And it's just like in any relationship, sometimes we're feeling a little bit shy and awkward. We don't feel like initiating a conversation. But sometimes when we do, we get something out of that interaction, and it's like, wow, that was really a blessing. And it's the same way with reading the Bible. Sometimes the flesh is lazy. It's like, I don't want to do that. I'd rather play a video game. I'd rather watch TV. I'd rather just veg and do nothing. But when we take the time and initiative and we start reading the Bible, and then our heart starts warming up to God, we start listening, and we end up getting the value out of it. The biggest excuses that I hear from Christians as to why they don't read the Bible, the first one is, well, I don't have enough time. Well, we all know that that's a bunch of garbage. We have time for all kinds of things. You can always squeeze in a few minutes, and nowadays we have technology. People can listen to the Bible on their phone, and while I don't think that that's a complete replacement to reading, hey, it's better than nothing.
Oh, yeah.
And so we've got all kinds of opportunities to expose ourselves to the Word of God. But probably the biggest excuse that I see is, well, I don't understand what I'm reading.
Yeah.
And that's where I just want to encourage our listeners and, anyone that would listen to this broadcast at even a later date is that you don't have to understand everything what you read. There's a lot of the Bible that even with study, you can study it the rest of your life and you're never going to feel like you totally got it figured out.
Right.
Don't worry about those things. Yeah. There's tons of things that you will understand and just worry about those things, because it's a spiritual book. And if people will stay in the book, the Holy Spirit will give us understanding. We'll make a connection between one verse over here in this part of the Bible and another verse in another part of the Bible. And as we just stay persistent with that, the Holy Spirit will give us the understanding that we need.
Yeah.
So often we think that I've got to understand everything that I read. That is not the case. Listen to what this says in Ephesians 5:26, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. When we read the Bible, even if you don't understand what you read, it has a cleansing effect, that water of the Word of God. And I'm glad that we have the pure Word of God. I'm glad we've got pure water. When I take a bath or when I wash my hands, I don't want dirty water. I want pure water. And so there's so many different things. I have a water filter that I bought. We went to Papua New Guinea on a mission trip, and I took that just in case that, you know, we had water that we couldn't drink, had to worry about that. And I've taken it up camping, and we've been out in the wilderness area, and I can go to some, I mean, just boggy, marshy swamp water, and that thing will filter that water and make it drinkable. But even when you look at it, it doesn't look like pure, clear water.
Yeah, right.
But it's convenient. And so often people think, well, I just want convenience. I want a Bible that's easy to understand. I don't know about you. I want one, even if I have to hike up to a spring up on the mountain, I want that pure, clean water that comes out of that spring that God produced.
Yeah.
And that's a whole lot better. Yeah, I can use that filter if that's all I've got, but I would rather go to the trouble and have the pure words of God. We are about out of time, Brother Jason. Any last thoughts for our listeners?
No, you know, like you said, as far as reading this Bible, you're not going to understand everything. But the great thing about it is it tells us that the Holy Spirit searches out the deep things of God.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, you know, if you want to know something, then show him. Well, how do I show him? I read. I open his Bible. I read his word, this pure word, and let it do what it's meant to do.
That's what
this is for. We don't need nothing else. We got 66 books. That's a plenty.
That is right. Romans 10:17 says, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." That verse summarizes everything that we've talked about today, Brother Jason. Getting the word of God out so people can get faith, and then also reading the word of God so that we can have faith and that our faith can grow. It's been a joy to have you on Salt and Light. Appreciate you, Pastor Jason. Folks, if you don't have a Bible-believing church to go to, check out Northmont Baptist Church right here in Statesville. Brother Jason's a good Bible preacher, good pastor. Check it out. You'll be glad that you did. Have a great day. God bless you.
We appreciate you taking the time to join us at Salt and Light. It is our desire that you experience the joy of following Jesus Christ. He loves you, and he died on the cross for your sins. He will give you hope, peace, and eternal life if you will repent of your sins and trust him as your Savior. You may see yourself as a good person, but you will never be good enough to deserve heaven. You may see yourself as bad, but you can never be too bad for Jesus to forgive you. You can call upon him to save you this very moment. If you are a born-again Christian, we want to encourage you to obey Christ's command and be salt and light to those around you. We encourage you to find a Bible-believing church that does not compromise or water down the Bible. Get involved serving the Lord. If you have a Bible question or a particular issue you would like us to discuss on Salt and Light, visit our website at templebaptistnc.com. Click on the Salt and Light link. Once again, that's templebaptistnc.com. May the Lord bless you. We hope you'll join us again next week.
Serving you better than ever before. 105.9 100.7 WSIC, Statesville, Mooresville, North Charlotte.